God bless your soul. Yes. Book of Jeremiah this morning. Book of Jeremiah. Since I didn't let Chad have Sunday school in Jeremiah this morning, I will go there. Chapter number 13, please. Jeremiah chapter 13. Aren't you glad that you can laugh once in a while? Amen. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And it's good when you can be well medicated. Amen. It's helpful. You know, I believe there's a time to be serious, but I also believe there's a time to laugh. And certainly, I believe the time for joy is always. God wants to do that in our life. By the way, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I say fruit, not fruits, because the Bible says fruit. There's nine of them. And yet it's looked at as by God as one. So it's a neat little deal. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse number 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle." I don't know if some of you folks know what that is. It's a very tight-fitting garment that goes around your waist. Okay. "Go get thee a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water." So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, "Take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, and hide it there in a hole of the rock." So I went and hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said unto me, "Arise, go to the Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence which I commanded thee to hide there." Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel, and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your marvelous word. I ask, O God, this morning, that though these of old would not hear, but these that are in this place today would hear, that we might hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. I pray that you would wipe away distractions, the thoughts of yesterday or the thoughts of tomorrow, and, oh God, that we might concentrate upon what you would have us to know and understand, to allow to develop in our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I believe that it can be well established the purpose of God to those that are redeemed. To those that are His people, I believe we can find that there is a purpose. We find the Jews' redemption came when they believed God and applied the blood of the Lamb to their doorpost, that the death angel would pass over rather than come in and slay the firstborn. Thus the term Passover. As we go to the Word of God, we find the book of Genesis is the foundational book. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It goes against so-called science, but it does not go against science applied. Only theorists. And we find it as God made the heavens and the earth, and as God placed all that we know round about us, we find that God made man and woman. we find a little later that God brought into being a nation called Israel. This nation was a special group of people that God put here for a purpose. And that purpose, I believe, we find in verse number 11. In this particular chapter, he's really bringing admonishment upon them for not doing so, and he's reminding them of who they are. If you notice the last portion of that verse, it says, that they might be unto me for a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear. They were here for a great purpose, and that purpose was to bring glory to the name of God. Isaiah 43, verse 21 says, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. God developed the Israelite people for a particular reason, but they would not hear. We find also the Christian has been redeemed by the blood. But in this case, it was not that which they slew and placed upon their doorpost. It was the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we will believe in He who shed His blood that we might be saved. By the way, the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. You see, the Bible was ahead of science, and science finally caught up with the Bible a little over 100 years ago. George Washington died because they bled him to death because they thought the blood was impure and you had to get it out of the human being. But we know from the Word of God that not be so. And so here we find that that lifeblood, that which was His life, it was given up in our stead. You see, the blood of Jesus is considered pure. It is considered one that is not tainted by sin. And what's interesting is, when there's a union between the father and the mother, it's the father that really decides the bloodline, the blood, and we call it bloodline, but he's the one through whom we get our, can we say, blood type. And so here we find an interesting thing. It is the Holy Spirit of God who came upon Mary, and thus it is God who impregnated her, and she bore a child. His blood was precious, and thus He could give that and redeem us from our sin. Because we know what? The only way that you and I can pay for our sin is through death. The wages of sin is what? Death. What did He tell Adam? In the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And that has taken place century after century, generation after generation. And so God has now, in this time, not just the Jewish people, but those that we sometimes refer to as Christian, a term that was given to those Christians early because of their likeness to Christ. In chapter 2 and verse number 9 of 1 Peter, it says this, for ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He's looking at Christians, and he's making some application there, somewhat Old Testament, but he says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And then he says this, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has left us here for a purpose. As He left a Jew to bring praise to His name, God leaves us as His people to bring praise to His name. The person who has lost their sense of purpose are selfish and self-centered. And many times we as God's people, we forget what we're here for. We think it's all about ourselves. No, it's about bringing honor and glory to God. It's about pointing to Him. How many have ever had the privilege to go hunting birds, pheasants? How many have ever had the privilege to hunt with a good bird dog? Huh? Only two or three, four. A number of years ago, I had that privilege. A friend of Bill, and they invited me along, and He had a bird dog. I forget what it was, a Brittany. Was it a Brittany? And I watched that dog. I was more enthralled with that dog than I was with the birds. But as he would work back and forth and smelling, and he was looking intently, when he found one, there was something unusual took place. He just stood on point. You knew exactly where the bird was at. And when the command was given, he would go in and basically make the bird fly up so that we could shoot it. Some of you say, that's really nasty. No, the pheasant's pretty good eating. Right? Amen. You know, dead meat's really good. It's the way it works out. But as I think about that dog, I think of you and I as God's creatures. We've been left here for a purpose, and that's to point out Jesus to those that are around about us. We have a responsibility, and we lose that sense of responsibility because of selfishness. Listen, we don't have a life that's meaningful. It's without fulfillment. The only thing fulfills is some pleasures from without. And it's very sad. The Jew as a whole, the Christian as a whole, are in this sad state of affairs. And I believe there's one glaring reason among those who are professed believers, whether they be Jew or Gentile, and it's found in verse number 11, where it says in the last little phrase, but they would not hear. Didn't say they could not hear, it says they would not hear. It was out of their realm. They were not about to listen to it. And yet as we look back at this time, here was a man of God that God brought upon the scene by the name of Jeremiah. And God gave him a message. Matter of fact, God gave him an illustration with a girdle. God gave him something they could look at and to see, and he could tell them what it was all about. And yet for that, though they had prophets, though they had preachers, they had Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, then Elisha and Elijah, and a host of others, and they sought to call Israel back to God, but the Bible says they would not hear. Excuse me. It doesn't say they could not. It says they would not. There are preachers throughout our land and around the world, but we find the same problem yet today. They will not hear. Even those who profess Christianity. Many times people go to church to be entertained. They want to be entertained by the music. They want to be entertained by the delivery of the messenger of God. They want something that's just going to make them feel tremendous as they walk out. But they will not hear the true message. How many heard singing this morning? But I wonder, did we hear the message of the songs? Whether it was a special that was sung last, or whether it was the congregational songs we had tremendous lyrics to them. Not just something fun to sing, but something that has a message for us. I remember years ago, my wife sang in church, and she sang a song that I haven't heard for quite a few years. And the song was basically this: the church is finally over. It was basically saying, there comes a time when it's too late. When church, the service is finally over and it's too late. And I remember at the end of the service, after the preacher preached, a man walked down the aisle. And he told me later, he says, I got saved because of that song and the message that was there. What happened? He heard the message. And too often we do not allow it to come into our eardrums. They would not hear. Books are written, excuse me, literally by the thousands. And yet their message is oftentimes untouched. Do you realize there's more Christian books being sold at this time than ever before in history? Not only because there's more people, but there seems to be more interest, but at the same time, they will not hear. Want things to tickle the ears, but not that which is telling the truth. They had prophets, they had preachers, but they would not hear. I find as well they had formality. They went through services. They had certain things that they did, but there was no personal reality with them. They came with their sacrifices, but God wanted their obedience. To King Saul, God said, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. He didn't say it's wrong to sacrifice. It is that God wants us to follow after Him, put Him first. They had the formalities. They went through the motions, but it was nothing in the heart. They taught in their synagogues, but God really wasn't known to them. It was a set of rules without relationship. Listen, mom and dad can sit down all the rules they want, but I'll tell you what makes a child mind is when there's a relationship between that child and their parents. That's when things get accomplished. I don't care how much you do it in our country, you can pass all the laws you want to, but it's the relationships that are built that's going to change things. For some unknown reason, people today, they think that if there's no guns, there'll be no violence. They'll find knives. That's been proven. They'll find something. The problem's in the heart. And the problem is there's not relationship that is there. Why do we find these mass killers? Because they do not have somebody they feel like loves them or cares about them. What's going on today? We got all kinds of rules. Congress passes law after law. So many laws, they don't even know what they are supposed to do sometimes. And yet we find that our nation is in the throes of horrible times as we think about the mass shootings, we think about all the killings, all the things that take place. Well, we got the formalities, but we need a relationship. I believe another problem when we see this, they would not hear, is because they had their priorities twisted. The land of Israel, the nation of Israel, I should say, from the very outset, as they crossed over the Red Sea, their minds was more on substance than the Savior. As soon as they cross the Red Sea, what are they doing? They're whining because they don't have water. They're whining because they don't have food, when in fact God is ready to do that for them. What was the problem? Their priority wasn't God. Do you realize today that 95% of our youth are turning away from God? I mean, those who are raised in our churches, they're turning away. Why? Because they see their parents and other church members putting the pleasures of flesh ahead of a passion for the Father. It does not work. We teach more by our life than we do by our lips. Our lips ought to establish what our life is all about. But our priorities get twisted. So many things that come ahead of God in our lives. And our kids see it. The next generation sees it. I talked to a man this week that is over several. He works as a, I don't know what you call him, a representative. And he goes into many Christian schools, literally hundreds every year. And as we talked, he said this to me. He said, many, many, if not most, not all, Christian schools are in name only. Spirituality is not the goal. Academics swarm the headline. in the lives of those who call themselves Christian. I'd rather have a slow student that loved God than somebody who was an academic genius and turned off to Him. What are we seeking for those who are coming up? That they might walk with God. They might have an understanding of God. That they might delight in Him. What happens? Our priorities get so twisted. What's the Bible says? Seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We try to add to things without putting God first, and we get second best. Maybe I should say it's worse, much worse. It is He who we put first. What do we find? They would not hear. They would not hear. I ask you a question this morning. Is your delight in the Lord? Is your desire to put God ahead of your career? Is it your desire to put God ahead of your politics? Is it your desire to put God ahead of your entertainment? Is that your desire? Do you delight in Him? Let me ask you another. Did you call upon the Lord to save you, or have you never seen the depths of your sinful nature? Too often Christianity is about, oh yeah, I'll accept Christ my Savior, but do not recognize the sin we've committed against Him. Let's go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created what? Heavens and earth. We find on day six, God created man. We find that God gave him a warning. The day each of you shall surely die. He's talking about the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. These are real things, and God said that to them. We find there is one rule in the book of Genesis in those chapters. When man was created, he had one rule. One thing God said, don't do it. You know what God's saying? God's saying, you can do whatever you want. Except this. Anything you want. Except you can't do this. And they did it. Do we recognize how terrible that is? You said eating an apple. First of all, we don't know it was an apple. I think God turned it into a cockle burr. He judged everything else. But they ate it. God's condemnation was so great. In the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Wow. That's our sin. You sure that was Adam's? Yes. And through Adam, you got the same nature. Given the right circumstances, there's nothing that you wouldn't do. Well, I'm not as bad as... Oh, you want to bet? Well, I'd never kill anybody. You've thought about it. There's people that you've thought, they'd be better dead than alive. Well, I've never been a thief. If you have a brother or sister, you've been a thief. You tried to steal something that was theirs. It's the way we are. Well, preacher, I do tell white lies. Since when did God put a color on lies? He's not segregated on color. They're lies. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We're sinful. And we deserve to die. And all I got to do is take you to the east end of town to prove to you it will happen. It will happen. One of these days, if the Lord doesn't return, you'll take me there. And one of these days, somebody will be taking you there. Oh, man, I got good news, though. He said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. In the day they ate thereof, did they die? Well, sometimes we say, well, they died spiritually. They were separated from God, and that'd be a true statement. But what did God do that day? I find this fascinating. I've told it over and over, and yet each time I tell it, it seems as real as the first. There was one that died for them. The Bible says, they took coats of skin and placed it about their nakedness. Because before they sinned, they did not have that consciousness of nakedness. It was not wrong. But now they do. And God clothes them. Well, how in the world do you get coats of skin? In my lifetime, I used to shoot a lot of rabbits. I go bird hunting, a rabbit popped up. Sorry, Charlie. Well, you have to skin rabbits if you want to eat them. So right there on the spot, while they're still warm. See, this is gruesome and icky. You know, we ought to come to reality on some things. Because the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us was gruesome and icky. And I'd tell a slit and grab that rabbit by the head and begin to pull his coat off and take the flesh home. How'd it happen? Had to kill the rabbit first. Well, I was a farm boy, Dad raised cattle. And from time to time, they'd take one of those cows, and they would shoot her and lift her up, cut her throat, pull the hide off. The blood would drip, the hide would come off. All of very symbolic, the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened on that day? They died in that animal. Well, later their flesh died because their flesh really wasn't saved. Their soul was saved. By the way, one of these days the body would be saved too. That happened to all those previous to Jesus when they came out of the grave on the day of his resurrection. Interesting study. Jesus died for us. Amen? Wow. You and I have something very special. If we'll receive it. I ask the question, did you call upon him to save you? Or have you really seen the depths of your sinful nature that you might realize why you need to call upon him? What's the problem today? The same as in the day of Jeremiah. They would not hear. Didn't say they could not hear. It says they would not hear. That was the problem. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear it. The words bounced off. He was there and then gone. Are you listening to God? Are you hearing His voice, Christian, day by day? Do you allow Him to speak to you, or is life all about you? Serious. I was thinking about when Jesus said, I'm the truth and the way. You ever think about the way that Jesus went? Seriously, what did He say? There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. The narrow way is difficult. And so when you begin to walk for God, it's not the easy road. Anybody can do the easy stuff. Anybody can follow the crowd. Anybody can do that. But are you willing to go His way? Amen? Are you hearing Him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the privilege You have given us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray this morning that You would certainly cause us to hear and then to be doers, to respond to that hearing. Lord God, I pray for Your blessing these moments. If there be one in this room that's never received You as their Savior, never looked in the depths of their sin and understood how terrible really they are within, and the need to repent and to turn to You, I pray that You would do that in their heart in these moments. God, for those who know You as Savior and yet will not hear, have put self before You, oh God, I pray You bring Holy Ghost conviction. Spirit of God, You've told us You're the Comforter, but You've also told us You're the Convictor. And I pray You do Your work in these moments. For I ask it in Christ's name, amen.